RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice.
Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. And this week, Josh, you and I are going to take a look at the very exciting, very thrilling, very chilling mid-season finale for season two. This is scary. It had ghosts in it.
I was prepared. Marley came back and told me that there were going to be three ghosts, so I kind of knew they were coming.
Oh, that's good. Marley the dog, right? That little fluffy,
yeah.
Cute dog.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's so
Arrow sidekick.
Wouldn't that be cool if he had a sidekick that was a dog?
A little Arrow dog.
Arrow dog. So why don't you let us know what episode did we watch this week, and are we going to talk about on Green Justice?
Well, we are continuing through exciting season two, but this is episode 9, entitled Three Ghosts, which was on originally on December 11th, 2013. It was written by Greg Berlanti and Andrew Kreisberg. The teleplay was by Jeff Johns and Ben Sokolowski, and it was directed by John Baring. So, this was part two from last week, right? But Barry Allen is back, CSI Wannabe, and dispenser of rat poison. He cured Oliver from the dose of the blood thickener that he had got stabbed with after his battle with Cyrus Gold, also known as the Acolyte. Unfortunately, though, Oliver begins to have a few side effects from the cure. Who'd have thunk? You know,
yeah.
Rat poison. I thought it was safe. Had a cute little rat on the side of it. But he started to see people, visions of people from his past. Shadow, Slade, and even Tommy at one point. So because he wasn't feeling himself, he asked Officer Lance, not Detective Lance anymore, it's Officer, although I think he did call him Detective in this one, didn't he?
No, I don't think so. Officer Lance was talking to the detective, his friend, that is still a detective, Lucas, right. I think.
I thought I caught a detective in there, but I could be wrong.
He might have. I that was like the least of the things that I was paying attention to.
That's true. I was trying to really look at the details in this one. But anyway, so he asks Lance if he can go find Cyrus because he's not really feeling up to it, which was a little uncharacteristic of him. I'm proud that he's able to ask for help a little bit more now. But while Lance is digging for gold. That's probably not the good way to describe it. While Lance is looking for Cyrus Gold, that's probably a better way to describe that.
There we go. That's less confusing.
Yeah, his SWAT team, which unbeknownst to him, included a member of Brother Blood. I guess that's what you'd call them, right? They're completely outmatched for the souped up monster that was. Cyrus there. He had the stuff pumping in his body, the Mirakuru. And meanwhile, Roy gets captured by Blood, and he gets injected with the Mirakuru just as Oliver gets there to save the day.
Wow.
I didn't even include the end. I'll talk about that later.
I know. Yeah, definitely. Now, this is what a mid-season replacement, a mid-season finale is supposed to be like. This had me on the edge of my seat throughout the entire episode. It was fabulous.
Very much
enjoyed it.
Your seat that you were on the edge of, you weren't like strapped to it with a guy in a skull mask, were you?
No, okay, no, good. Definitely
just,
not.
Just checking. So
it reminds me of that. It's one of those old
It's from like a movie trailer or something like that. It's like, you'll pay for the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Like a Sunday truck driving.
Sunday. All right. So before we get full blown in the episode, just have a little bit of our news section, but it's really not news here. But I will let people know that Arrow will be off the air for 4 weeks, and we'll be back on January 15th. So we too will be back in mid-January with the next episode of Green Justice. But I'd really like to talk to a cast member or a crew member in the interim over the winter break here. I think that'd be a great time for us to talk to somebody from the show. And we've been trying to get in touch with people, and it's just not going as fast as I think you or I would like to have it go. So if our listeners are on Twitter and you're interested in hearing from the cast or the crew, why don't you tweet at Greg Berlanti or at Mark Guggenheim and let them know that you support at Green Justice Pod, which is our Twitter handle, and that you want to hear more of the cast and crew of Arrow on our show. So just look up Greg Berlanti or Mark Guggenheim. Those are two of the executive producers and also writers and producers and directors and writers and story editors and whatever else here on the show. And let them know that that you guys support us and you want to have them come on our show. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from them. So.
And then this is just one of those weird little coincidency things that happens. So I was listening to part of last week's Green Justice podcast so I could make a couple of notes. So I was listening to it on the way into work today. And usually when I'm driving through the city, I just see yellow cab. That's like the one of the main cabs. Or I see some of the airport taxis in the vicinity.
Uh-huh.
But I'm listening to the end of our show with the closing credits and everything like that. And a green and white Arrow taxi cab pulls up next to me. I don't think I've ever seen an Arrow taxi cab in my city before. So I think that was a sign. They were trying to tell me something.
Definitely. I'm not sure. That they're listening to our show. I think that's what they're trying to tell us.
I would hope so. Trying to get their attention. It's like, I'm listening to a show about Arrow. And you're talking.
But hey, you know, coincidentally enough, something very similar happened to me. I was listening to our show in the car. And I turned on a green Arrow. Does that count? Is that – that's maybe not as big of a coincidence as
yours. It's better than turning on a red Arrow. So,
yeah, he was really mad when I did that.
Or turning on a red Arrow in your knee. So, all right. So first thing I want to talk about, title of the episode, Three Ghosts. We were doing some speculation on this last week. And – I was talking about how I thought it might relate to Christmas time and the story of the three ghosts and Tiny Tim, and we didn't actually see Tiny Tim or anything like that or necessarily Ebenezer Scrooge, but I think Oliver was supposed to kind of be that Scrooge sort of character in this.
Yeah, well, so we laid it all out on the table, right? I said who I thought were the three ghosts, and you said who you thought were the three ghosts. So how did we do?
Well, between us, we got everybody.
Well, that
which
works.
Is great.
I'm good with that.
I'm 66%, and you are, I think you were 33%.
Just like in.
So, well, I take that back. No, I think you were 66% in a slightly different way here. So, anyway, I was kind of going in order of past, present, future.
Uh-huh.
And, trying to be in the order that, you know, the ghosts would show up in the show. So I got the first and the third one right. I said it was going to be Shadow, and then I said it was going to be Sarah as the middle one, and neither of us really got the middle one correct. You had said Slade initially, but you at least got Slade. I didn't get Slade. But then I also said Tommy was going to show up, which was so cool to see him back on the show, even if it was just, you know, like 30 seconds of a close-up. I thought it was very well done, and it was good to see Colin. Oh my God, he's been off the show for only 9 episodes, and I've forgotten his name now.
Well, I feel like we're close enough to just call him Colin.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. So, but what I think is interesting, and we can discuss this more as we get further into the show here, but Shadow is sort of the ghost of the past, right? Because she supposedly, again, we're talking about deaths on Arrow here, so please forgive me if I assume that any of these are actually permanent. It's just a it's just an old holdover from reality. But Shadow appears to have died on the island. I'm wondering how long she really will stay dead. So she is the ghost of the past, I believe. Then Slade shows up, but I would argue that he is the ghost of the present. Excuse me, the ghost of the future, not the ghost of the present. And I would argue that Tommy, who's the third ghost that shows up, is actually the ghost of the present because he was the one that died most recently with Oliver. But even though Slade appears to have also been a ghost of the past, he technically is a ghost of the future because he is not dead yet.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay.
Very clever of them to throw that all together, too.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So. Huh. Interesting. Now, I, okay, I don't know if I want to do this, because this is bit new in the past, but I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say Shadow on the island truly is dead.
Okay. Mm. Which means that Shadow in the present would be dead too, I think. So.
Well, yeah. But I mean, that doesn't mean that we won't ever see her again. Kind of like Tommy, you know, and kind of like these visions that he was seeing. And definitely, I think we might be able to see a particular flashback or something, but I don't know. It was pretty gruesomely clear-cut what happened to her, so I'm not sure she could come back from that. I suppose I could... Oh, geez, see? Now I'm already second-guessing myself. I guess Slade could give her some Mirakuru, I suppose, and she could be, you know, Super Shadow.
Super Shadow. Now, you know, was Shadow... Shadow's never been mentioned as being part of the League of Assassins, right?
Not in the comic or in the show? Or both?
Either. Yeah, either.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I don't think in the show... Because, you know...
I would have to brush up on my Shadow comics, but I really don't think in the show.
Okay. I would, because, you know, Malcolm Merlyn, you know, says that, you know, in some places death is but an illusion and all that. And it's like, well, she has something to do with the League of Assassins, you know. It looks like she got shot in the head and was really bloody on the side of her face. But, you know, she did a micro move at the end, so it's just a glancing wound.
She just she grabbed a packet of ketchup out of her pocket, and we didn't see it.
No, I mean, she actually got shot, but, okay. You know, it's like it didn't go through her brain or whatever it was supposed to happen. I don't know.
All right.
I think she is dead. I have to go back just to your predictions, and I know that you got a couple of them wrong, but I have to say I really liked your rationale for them.
Okay.
So you would come up with your second and third ones were Sarah and Malcolm, because they both were people that were assumed to be dead but weren't and were going to do some reveals. And so you were talking about it as Sarah was going to show back up and do some kind of reveal, maybe possibly Laurel, and Malcolm was going to show up and do a reveal that so that he wasn't dead anymore, possibly to Arrow. Which I thought was really cool, and I think those both still need to happen and will happen at some point in the season.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm glad they didn't do it in this episode. It would have been too much almost, but...
Oh my God, this episode was overload.
Yeah.
In a good way, so... But you were speaking about the flashbacks on the island, so check this segue. When can we expect to see flashback? Should we, after the end of this episode, should we bury Barry? I think not. But we talked about last week how they teased the Flash origin with the lightning storm and Barry sanding over all the chemicals that he said were completely unsafe. And
nothing like his office or apartment or whatever that was with all the electronics and the leaky roof. That's not unsafe.
Oh, and then he's got the kind of the rusty chain there that he's pulling. Like, it looks like some kind of Frankenstein thing where there's a lightning storm and he freezes and he's holding onto these chains. And I just kept screaming at the TV, like, let go of the chains. Oh, and so the lightning, the particle accelerator explodes. Now, I'm confused. I thought the particle accelerator was in Starling City. Was it in Starling City or Central City?
Well, I guess it was in Central City. It
looked like it was far away, but I mean, maybe the cities are, just neighboring.
But why did you think it was in Starling City? Had they ever said that, or had we just assumed it because they kept mentioning it on, on the Starling
City
news?
They kept talking about Star Labs. I guess I just assumed Star Labs was there in Starling City, with the star.
I don't think.
I don't know.
I mean, I assumed it was in Starling City too, but that's not necessarily the case. And after hearing that, and I kind of felt the same way right when I saw that it was happening in Central City, and that's why he was going back. I'm like, oh, that's not where I thought it was, but whatever. I guess I never really heard that necessarily. I just always assumed it. So
right, it confused me a little bit because Felicity said that Barry had gone back to Central City, and then he said, well, I couldn't get tickets to get into Star Labs or whatever, and I'm like, is there another Star Labs? Are they doing like a remote viewing or whatever? So anyway,
it makes a lot of sense. I mean, they've been not promoting, but I guess teasing the particle accelerator all season on Arrow,
every single episode,
and they did it obviously to lead up to the Flash. I mean, they threw that in there quite obviously, I think, to lead up to the Flash, because we knew that was what it was going to cause. So I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just in Central City, and I'm fine with that. And I didn't think otherwise after I noticed.
Yeah. The when the explosion happened and Barry got thrown across the room, my wife gasped and she's like, oh no, he's going to be hurt. I mean, she is aware of the mythos of Barry Allen and the Flash and all that stuff. And I'm like, no, it's okay. We want this to happen. And she's like, yeah, but he may be hurt. And I'm like, no, seriously, it's okay. We really want him to be hurt by this. Unfortunately, it seems like for people that are watching this show maybe more casually, they're going to expect that we're going to come – well, and who's to say we won't, I guess. But based on what I've heard in the rumor mill, we're going to come back from the midseason break here, the winter break, and we're not going to focus on anything else with Barry Allen. No. I mean, his story is done as far as we're concerned on Arrow, and it won't pick up finding out what happened to him in that explosion until the Flash pilot next season.
Yeah. Is it next season? We have to wait till next season to do that? They're not going to do like a summer thing or a...
I don't know. I mean, usually what the way this kind of stuff would work would be they would they'd film the pilot, this summer and then or maybe they film the pilot at the beginning of this next year in 2014, mm-hmm. and then show it to the network. And if it's going to get picked up, then they would probably make the pilot the first episode of the show, just like we got with Arrow.
Right.
Because the first episode was called Pilot.
Aren't we aware that they have already filmed a lot of that because they had planned originally on just having it be embedded or either in the, mm-hmm. in the storyline or in the season of Arrow, right? And then they changed their mind and they said, no, you know what, we're just going to give it their own.
Yeah, they haven't filmed anything because they were just doing some casting recently. There were some casting pages that were shown online. So, there's some teases out there of who some of the main characters may be in the show. But no, they haven't filmed anything yet. But you were correct. They were going to embed this into the Arrow, kind of have another Flash episode in Arrow. But now that, I guess that could potentially happen further in the season and there will be a pilot, or they've decided to take the Flash storyline out of Arrow.
Yeah.
And move it into the full pilot.
Yeah.
So,
well,
rather than the episode of Arrow being the pilot, they're making the pilot its own standalone episode.
Whatever they decide to do, I would guess that they will bring him back on Arrow in some capacity.
I feel like they just need to show that he's okay and that he has superpowers, or even if they don't show that he has superpowers, that he's okay that he survived that explosion, because they've built up a lot of goodwill with the fans. I think fans have reacted really positively to this character and to this actor, to Grant Gustin. And to leave it at the mid-season with this explosion and him looking dead, but, you know, we see this little electrical impulse or whatever travel. It looked like it was under his skin even, going up his cheekbone. I don't think they can just leave the character like that.
They need to have some sort of closure, at least with the Arrow viewers, so they don't think.
Right.
And not only just so they don't worry about him or so they don't tell, but it would be bad storytelling if you just kind of left that storyline dead right there and never, you know, talked about it again.
Well, as a fan of comic books, I can tell you there have been more times than I can count where I got really involved in a storyline and, you know, through multiple issues of a comic book because there was a specific writer working on it where they teased character setup. You know, there's some mysterious character that's all in shadow and he's pulling the strings and you're about to find out what happens, and either the book get canceled or the writer leaves the series and the next writer doesn't continue on with any of those storylines. So I've had that kind of stuff happen to me enough times that it's like, you know, I just deal with it.
Yeah.
I will never know what happened here.
From a TV standpoint, they're getting ready to start a new show that they want people to see. And any little teases in Arrow is going to help promote it for an audience that's already there. So I would think they would. But I am kind of curious now that you said, it hadn't even really occurred to me when. I was just so excited that it was going to happen. I am kind of curious when they do plan on starting the actual series. I'm almost worried that they wait until, you know, August, September, sometime around there, because that seems like such a long time in between when they introduce the character to when it actually starts.
Yeah, but I mean, 8 months, that's not a very long time for them to get a new show up and running. I mean, they've been talking about it for longer than that, but they now have to shoot a pilot, and assuming that the pilot gets picked up, then they have to, you know, get their team together and actually start writing and, you know, shooting other shows, you know, to follow that. So I think the first, the pilot, like I said, I think it would be done some point, you know, middle of the year, middle of 2014, because they would have to show it to the people at CW to say, you know, yes or no. Unless for some reason, because of the great buzz here on Arrow, that the show, it's going to get a pilot, but it's going to get an automatic green light to go ahead, which rarely happens. I don't know if that happens anymore with TV shows without having to have some kind of pilot that gets previewed with either test audiences or with the suits at the network or something like that. So, but yeah, I mean, their plan, it sounds like the producer's plan has always been to, if it's going to work, Flash would be a 2014 series premiere. So it would be, August, September, something like that.
All right.
Which would be great. I think it would be a great, twofer evening on CW on Wednesdays or whatever night they decide to put it on, to have Arrow lead right into Flash, a 2-hour superhero block would be, oh my gosh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Let's do it.
All right, so next thing, let's talk about Roy. Mr. Roy has, or Brother Roy, seems to have problems with needles. They seem to be a recurring theme for his character. In the comic books, he was a junkie, and here he gets injected with Mercury, and luckily he survives. which I think is great because that it sets up an entirely new dynamic on the show. We may have to start keeping track of what characters now have been injected with Mirakuru and which ones haven't. And I'm wondering if Oliver has been injected at some point as well.
I wondered if you were going to say that. I was thinking the same thing, and I've since we've kind of found out about this, about the drug and from the island, I was wondering if maybe that's what has given him some of his hesitate to say abilities, because it doesn't sound like superpowers, but I mean he really is incredible, you know, what he can do. So right. I don't know. I'm maybe he has.
If it is, it would be a watered down version, because obviously he can't go toe to toe with someone like Solomon. Gold.
like a diet Mirakuru.
Yeah, Mirakuru Light. or what was the diet Pepsi with the twist of lemon? Is it Pepsi Free or something like that?
Pepsi Free, Pepsi One. I don't know.
Yeah. So
okay.
But so Roy is now okay. So in the history of the comic books, Roy is Red Arrow / Speedy / Arsenal, basically Green Arrow's sidekick, and then he goes off to become kind of a hero on his own, in the same way that Robin graduated from being Robin to being Nightwing. But Roy is now going to have these, you know, ostensibly superhuman powers, super strength, and, you know, who knows what other side effects there are. We don't, and it's great from a story standpoint, because they can introduce all sorts of other things. And how can he work with Oliver? Will he work with Oliver in the future? What are your thoughts?
Roy? Will Roy work with Oliver? Yeah, mm-hmm. I think... Yes. I mean, just including the character in the show, I have always assumed that he will in some way work with Oliver. And I guess you could argue that he already has.
But, right. That's true.
I think there's plenty more to come. Plenty more. I mean, the fact that he wears a red hoodie. Even in this show, the fact that Oliver used Speedy again, he wasn't talking to Roy, but Roy was in the room when he said Speedy. When he knocked on the door and said Speedy.
That was cool.
The fact that he gave him the little, you're always good at remembering this, and I can never remember. What do you call those little arrows?
The flechette, I think.
Flechette, yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't always forget that. That he gave him that, and it was even red, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was painted red.
Gave him that to kind of use as a signal for him, or a way of communicating him. There's just so many indications that they plan on having them work together. So I definitely think that they will. You know, I guess he's got to forgive him for shooting him in the knee with an arrow first. But
said last week, he's probably going to heal a lot faster than you would, and if that happened to you in real life. And wow,
he did. So and at first I wasn't sure what they were going for with that leg. Shot that establishing leg shot there at the end, showing Roy. I'm like, what's with the okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, that was the leg he got shot with. Yeah, and there's no wound, no scar, no nothing.
So not only did that that little establishing shot, it actually told a lot of story just in that one little shot. There was no, he didn't even talk in it, but you know, it said that number one, he definitely got injected with a drug, and it is affecting him in I guess you could say a positive way. It's affecting him in a strong way. It also gave him an opportunity to forgive Arrow for shooting him, because he's all healed up now, so no harm done.
Possibly, right?
Maybe,
don't know she may hold.
It's the opportunity. It's the opportunity there, you know. So now he can. It also gave him the opportunity to continue his quest, I guess, for doing his part to save the city. And it also showed what nice legs he has. So it had a lot of it had a lot of purposes, I think.
Right. I just kind of look at it as like, all right, so you ask someone to join your team because he was saying that he's going to, Oliver was saying that they need to keep a closer eye on Roy. So I kind of feel like he's going to be the next one to learn the secret. Even though Oliver hates letting people know, he just can't seem to help himself. He just keeps telling more and more people. The producers have also indicated that Oliver will be telling more people the secret because they feel that's the least interesting part of the series. Him keeping the secret of himself.
Yeah.
Because the more people know, the more different types of people are out there, they say. He can then go talk to them about his problems. So, like, he can talk to Felicity. It's like, hey, you know, I was having this hard time, you know, because there are these, you know, I'm the vigilante and there are these dead people that are coming back and bothering me. And then he can talk to Diggle and get a different perspective. And then, you know, if Roy is a confidant as well, he can talk to him about different things. He could talk to Barry about different things. So,
well, to me, that's fine in this story because it's not like a Superman, you know, where the Clark Kent side of the story in Superman is a really, really important part of that story. It's everything. I mean, in certain ways, I mean, just with his relationship with Lois and keeping the people he loves safe, because I mean, he is a superhero with superpowers and extremely superpowered villains. Whereas in the Green Arrow comic, it's not, at least in some versions of the Green Arrow comic, he's got a secret identity in the new ones, in the past, I mean, everybody knew who Oliver Queen was. Everybody knew that Green Arrow was Oliver Queen, a point where you're not even really sure why he wore the mask. So that's okay to me. And also because he doesn't have these superpower villains, I don't think it would be quite as difficult to protect certain people from the dangers that, you know, heroes face. Rationalizing all of that, but it makes sense to me.
Well, yeah. But it's a fictional story, so you can rationalize what you want.
Well, thank you.
For me, the most interesting thing about the secret identity of any superhero is not necessarily protecting themselves, but being able to protect the people that are close to them.
Yes.
I feel that is what's important about the Clark Kent Superman dual identity, because should people find out that Superman is Clark Kent and know that he's really close with Lois Lane, Lois Lane gets involved with Clark Kent enough, it's like, well, shouldn't they just know anyway? But, you know, you get these people coming after him or his parents, whichever parent is still alive, depending on which version of Superman you're watching. Same kind of thing with, like, Spider-Man. You know, you got, like you said, you got these supervillains that are coming after him. And to a degree, I think that's the danger with Oliver right now. If we can jump a little bit here to the end of this episode of Three Ghosts, where we are revealed who the big bad is for the season. And my wife laughs at me because she guessed this. Oh, this was obvious. Why didn't you figure this out? That it was in fact Slade that is controlling the purse strings and the brother blood. I don't know that she knew it the whole time, but like she was able to guess it either last week or at the beginning of this episode, you know, with the serum and stuff. Huh. And I'm like, well, it's because I've been discussing with everybody. We all thought it was Merlin. We thought it was Malcolm Merlin because he had come back to life, and we figured there must have been some link between him and the people on the island and Sarah and the League of Assassins and yada, yada, yada. And she's like, oh, okay, well, Slade got injected with the stuff on the island, so, I mean, I figured it was him. I'm like, okay, whatever. You're just not paying attention, and you're just making wild, crazy accusations, and you just happen to be right. So
I can picture her telling you this, and you're just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Hey, I want your initial reaction when Blood walked in and you heard the voice of the person sitting at the desk.
My initial reaction?
Yeah.
Well, I knew it was him right away before they ever showed his face.
Okay, right. Because of the accent.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got a... And it's not even the accent. It's even just the tone of his voice is very distinct. I almost kind of wish they hadn't had him start talking until they showed his face.
Yeah.
So much so. I mean, because when they showed his face, the only thing that was really a shock to me was his eye patch.
Yeah, the eye patch. And I loved the... I mean, it's only been 4.5 years or something like that, but the White Temples... I thought that was great because that's kind of what he looks like in the comic book as well. But
yeah.
all the cool bad guys are wearing eye patches this season. I'm thinking of the governor on The Walking Dead as well.
The eye patch is in, man. It's the new thing. I'm thinking about getting one.
Yeah, yeah. And all you got to do is get an arrow stabbed through your eye socket or something.
That's it, huh?
But... I love that. I was as soon as I heard him start speaking, I was like, oh my God. And just, you know, everything started racing through my mind. Like all the connections started being put together and I'm like, well, yeah, it makes total sense. You know, and he mentions that he's providing some of his own blood as kind of like the starter serum for Brother Blood.
I love that. I love that that's where they got it. That was a definite surprise for me.
Oliver said he had burned or, you know, in some way destroyed everything that was left on the island. And, you know, last week we talked about the fact that we figured Slade was dead. And you know what? Oliver still may think that Slade is dead. And he must think that Slade is dead just given the hallucination he had about Slade. Oliver is... haunted by his own guilt, I think, is what this episode is talking about. And, you know, a number of the characters are there to try to give him absolution. Barry and Felicity and Tommy.
Who do you think gave him the most absolution of that? Because I don't think it was any of those three characters.
I was going to say it was Tommy. I mean, and if that's the case, it really was Oliver himself, you know, giving permission to, you know, move on with his life.
Right.
Who are you thinking?
I think it was Lance.
Oh.
Because Lance said to him, not every death in this city is on your shoulders.
That's true. He really would be the only real person that provided counsel to Oliver in this episode.
Yeah, and after he told him that is when he went and, was it right after that he went to... save Roy or I'm remembering. There's so much.
Oh, let's see. So Oliver talked to Lance and then it was followed by Roy breaking in and getting captured and then getting injected and then Oliver going to rescue him.
Right. So that's kind of, I almost feel like it was Lance that convinced him to, stop feeling sorry for himself and go out there and do your job. And he did after that. But I agree with you that all the other, you know, his visions and talking with Felicity and Barry and Diggle, and I think all of those helped give him the confidence back that he was. And, I'm not sure I was too keen on the idea of all those visions being psychological. I think
he's messed up in the head. He is seriously messed up.
Well, yeah, we know that. But I think the rat poison would be like the trigger for that, but I would think that it would stick around in his system for a while. I mean, he got up right after being, for number one, having his blood almost coagulated, right? And then after that, being given some rat poison, and then he goes home.
My kids were like, they were laughing because he gets this text and he's like, I got to go home. And they're like, they're laughing. I'm like, what's funny? And he's like, my mom just texted me. I got to go home. So, sorry, guys. I got to take the ball and go home. But what I wanted to get to was the fact that going back to the secret identity stuff we were talking about is the fact that Blood doesn't know who Arrow is, and he's been fighting him, but you know, kind of at cross purposes to what Slade wants to happen. The most dangerous thing that's going to happen now is that Oliver thinks Slade is dead. Slade is not dead, and Slade knows who Oliver is, the Arrow. So, you know, he kind of lays out his entire plan for the second half of the season right here. He's going to corrupt his friends, the ones that love him. He's going to destroy the ones, you know, that are helping him, like Lance, you know, and his family and stuff like that. It really reminded me of Robert Nero's speech in Untouchables. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I haven't seen that forever. But yes, I do know what you're talking
about.
I
love The Untouchables. It's where because he's talking about Elliot Ness, and Elliot Ness has gotten Robert De Niro, this Kevin Costner's character, Elliot Ness. He's been harassing De Niro at every turn, and so he's like, "I want him dead. I want his family dead. I want his house burned to the ground." And then he says some other cruel stuff that he wants to do to his corpse. And it's like, my God, that's what, you know, Slade's doing that. He's like sitting back like the Godfather, and he's pulling these strings, like more strings than we've seen in this series so far. Leslie, it was just Malcolm Merlyn doing all this stuff. And now we've got this guy who is controlling other people, hiring fake hoods to kill the mayor so that his guy, his proxy, Blood, can be, you know, can run for mayor because he's announced his mayoral candidacy. I don't know if you noticed that was on the TV right at the beginning of that sequence. And
that was right after a particle accelerator story, wasn't it?
right. So, and then Blood's going to be, you know, Blood could get elected mayor, and then he is, you know, sort of the puppet government for whatever Slade wants to do. And Slade obviously has, you know, super healing powers now, strength, who knows what else, but he is officially Deathstroke now, and I am very excited to see where this is going.
I am too. I think there's got to be more flashback story that leads up all into this, and we may not even see it this season. I hope that all this hate and this anger towards Oliver isn't coming just from the fact that Shadow got killed in a situation that he had no control over, and that, you know, they let Slade die and had to give him this injection. I mean, I hope there's more depth to it than that, and I would imagine there is. There always has been when they tell that story, but, I would hate for him to, this super villain to be out for Oliver just because, you know, he lost an eye in a fight with him, but,
Yeah, I mean, there's something else going on because, you know, Slade comes back. He sees that Shadow's dead, and he, you know, picks up her corpse and kind of hugs it, you know, make sure to get all the blood on your face so that, you know, everybody knows that you're really sad and upset.
Is that when he smells it and discovers it's ketchup and she really...
Yeah, exactly. Tasty.
Hey, you're not dead.
But then, you know, Sarah goes, "It was Ivo. He killed her. You know, we don't know why." She kind of, you know, basically covers for Oliver there because, you know, is Oliver to blame for Shadow's death? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, he had a part in it, but, you know, Ivo, you know, was insane. Or what he called him, a freaking psychopath. And he said, "Well, I guess history will determine that." And it's like, "Well, history has spoken. You are a freaking psychopath." So, you know, it kind of was Oliver's choice, but you can't really blame Oliver for the choices that he make because it was done under duress. But even after Sarah says it was Ivo, he shot her. It's like Slade wasn't really listening. He's like, "I'm going to find whoever did this, and I'm going to make them pay." And you get the reaction shot of Oliver, and he's like, "Oh no!" It's like, you know, because this is again that guilt that Oliver's building up that still is with him in the present day, where, you know, he feels responsible.
I would hope that if I'm ever in a comic book situation like that, if I'm ever in a situation like Oliver, that I've watched enough shows and movies and read enough comic books to know what to do in that situation when somebody's like that, you know. So Slade is freaking out, "Oh, we're going to find him." And you should go right there and you go, "Yeah, let's do it. Let's go get him. Let's right now. It was Ivo. Let's get him. Come on. I'm with you." You know, that prevents that sense of revenge, you know, that Slade's going to feel against it. Yeah, exactly.
And but I think things will play out like we talked about on our last episode of the podcast, where we were talking about, we think that Slade, you know, was dead at some point on the island, or at least Oliver thinks he's killed him, because we've got the mask. When Oliver leaves the island, there's the Deathstroke mask with the arrow going through the right eye. At some point,
which turns out really probably was his eye.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what happens is that they continue to work together for a little bit here, probably the rest of the season, but we are going to see that friendship erode dramatically as Slade, maybe as a reaction of the Mirakuru, but also, you know, maybe just from his own twisted sense of vengeance and outrage, is going to throw this back on Oliver, and Slade will then become a villain for Oliver on the island, and then I'm guessing probably next season they'll be at odds together. There will be a fight at some point, and Oliver will stab him in the eye and potentially leave him for dead, much the way Deadshot was left at the beginning of season one, again, where I thought he was dead. It's like, hey, how do you survive an arrow through the eye like that? But,
yeah.
You know, and he will – Oliver will forget about him, or – he will go away, or, you know, someone will come and take Slade away in some fashion. Who knows? You know, something like that. Oliver will think he's gone.
Two questions about Slade and,
yeah.
And, you know, the whole eye bit and the fight, whatever. Number one is, do you think that, when Oliver left the island or after the fight or whatever, do you think he put the mask there on the post with the arrow? Or do you think it was Slade that did that?
I feel that it was Oliver that did that. I'm guessing it was a warning of some kind.
Okay. After seeing this one, I'm almost thinking like Slade did it. Like he took the mask off and he stabbed it and left it there and then came looking for Oliver. But that doesn't even really matter.
That would be an interesting – yeah, that could definitely be an interesting twist for that.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really affect the story. I was just kind of curious. That was one thing I thought of, like, hey, maybe he's who did it, you know, after the fight or whatever. The other thing – and I think I already know the answer to this one. But so once you get injected with the Mirakuru, does it stay forever? Does it wear off? Does it – you know, I with Slade, it almost seems like it would probably probably stay, and I only say that just because of the comic character of
yeah.
Deathstroke is kind of this super strong, really hard to fight and kill bad guy.
Right.
But maybe with this watered down version or whatever it is that they got from his blood, maybe it's a little different. Maybe Cyrus Gold needs regular injections. Maybe Roy isn't always going to be able to heal and be super strong and things like that.
And that's a really interesting thing, you know, a take on it, that you have one character that is always going to be this way, but other people, you know, react differently to it. And whether or not that's a function of the Mirakuru and the way that it works, or it's because of the physiology of the individual, I think they could make either work. We've seen, you know, a number of people die as they've been trying to perfect this serum, and Cyrus Gold's the first one to survive the process. At that point,
either way, I think they'd be able to promote it more for people if they could get rid of the whole, you know, side effect of the eye bleeding thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's a, if your eyes continue to bleed for up to 4 hours, please consult a physician. So, but the thing is, it's like, there's all these, you know, they've set up some kind of rules for about the way the injections need to work and stuff. And Slade, obviously, you know, they did not follow that. They used some really old version, you know, this original Mirakuru that was created during World War II in Japan is what Slade got. And he got it raw, I guess, you know, without whatever the chaser he was supposed to get with it.
Yeah, the little sedative thing.
Sedative or whatever. And he was able to come back to it. Now, would that be able to work for everybody? I don't know, because, you know, it could just be his physiology and the way that it works.
Well, and he also got it. Now, was he dead when they injected him? Was he just near death? I can't remember.
I want to say he was near death. He was near death because he was still – because I think they injected him and then he said the final few words to Shadow. It's like, you know,
oh,
that
right.
He never got to tell her how he feels.
Well, and I also just wonder if that has anything to do with it too, because everybody else that they've injected has seemingly been fairly healthy, right? You know, the all the ones that they've shown, but
yeah.
Anyway, I so many different things to kind of think about, and I don't think we'll get the answers to really any of those. That won't really probably be part of the story, but it's interesting to put those puzzle pieces together in your head to make it all make sense to you.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then we've got the mystery of Cyrus Gold, who, oh no, he died, but did he? I am not going out on a limb on this.
No,
Cyrus Gold is not dead. Well, Cyrus Gold is dead, but he will be returning as Solomon Grundy.
Yeah, boy, they threw that right in there. They have to use that now.
Love the fact that it's like, oh, his apartment's entirely clean except for there's a book here. What does it say? Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday. Okay. Wow, that was about as clear cut as you can make it, and let fans know that Solomon Grundy will be coming back. And of course, then the centrifuge explodes on his face, giving him an extra dose of serum that kind of burns his skin, and the dust kind of gave him a chalky appearance from the wall that exploded there. So, yeah, hopefully they bury him in Starling City Cemetery, and he'll come back in a couple days.
I wouldn't put it past him to put that, even if it was just in like the city morgue, you know, like in the police station somewhere, and he pops out of one of those drawers or something.
That'd be awesome.
That actually would be pretty cool. I like that idea. Thank you.
I'd love to see them just do that as like, you know, the opening on, you know, either the episode when they come back or, you know, in the next couple episodes. So it's still relatively fresh, right? I mean, it would be like, okay, we're cleaning up after whatever happened here, and the guy goes to throw him in the drawer and closes the drawer, and all of a sudden the drawer opens back up, and Grundy comes out. So,
would you remind me if you can? I'm sorry to throw this out at you without warning you, but I think you'll probably be able to help me. But and for crying out loud, I just looked it up last week. But what you know? Villain was Solomon Grundy. What hero was Solomon Grundy a villain for mainly? Was there one?
He was originally introduced in Green Lantern, actually. But I would say he fought the JSA / JLA because I think there were two different versions of him, uh-huh. depending on whether it was Earth 1 or Earth 2. And then he's also fought Batman. And Green Arrow and stuff like that.
But I know he's around in the DC universe. And the reason I asked was just because
Legion of Doom.
Yeah, that was my favorite version of him. the reason I asked was just because is he going to be a villain on Arrow? Is he going to be a villain on Flash? Is he? You know, I mean, there's some different possibilities. I suppose I could use him on both, but. I was just wondering if maybe they were setting him up to be another villain more on Flash, because I think in the Flash universe that they're building, number one, I think they're going to have more superpowered type villains for him. Otherwise, it's just going to be too easy, I would think. But and the other reason is because, you know, it traditionally Flash has had a very big rogues gallery of villains to play around with. So I would think they would want to use a lot there too. But either way, I think he's a good villain, and I really like the way they set him up.
Yeah, yeah, I am. I'm looking forward to that too. So he originally appeared in All American Comics number 61 from 1944, and was a Green Lantern villain, but the Alan Scott Green Lantern, so the Earth 2 JSA Green Lantern, not the spacefaring Green Lantern. So. And he was buried in Slaughter Swamp near Gotham City, and then his corpse reanimated from there.
On a Sunday?
So. On a Monday.
Monday.
Okay. Monday. Born on a Monday.
Okay.
Christened on Tuesday. So, so that's pretty cool. And two other things I just want to point out that I thought were cool about this was the fact that Barry is the one that introduces Oliver to the mask.
Yeah. I like
the sense of we need to have this mask. And he also mentioned something about compressible fibers or something like that. It was something that made me think, it's like, oh, Barry's already investigating whatever this is, and it made it sound like, well, that would be how you would get a suit, you know, compressible fabric inside of a ring, which is where the Flash keeps his suit. He pushes a button and it comes out of his ring. He has his little lightning bolt ring, and his suit comes out of there, and he gets dressed really quick, and you can never see it. But that's how in the comics at least, that's how he does it. So that'll be pretty cool.
Ha ha ha. Hey, geez, I didn't even make that little connection with his suit. What a great idea. I really like that Barry as a character. And see, this is one of those things that makes standout characters in any show. It makes them important and makes you want to think about them and care about them, is that they have these differences from the other characters. And one of the things I think that's different from Barry is he's always trying to solve problems, and he's always thinking of different ways to do things, and he's thinking outside the box. And I think that that'll be a great way to develop the Flash character.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff they can do with that. And especially now, you know, if they're going with this kind of superpower aspect to it, and we, you know, we don't know how much, you know, we're going to get with the Flash, but you know, there's a whole lot to do there. So yeah, looking forward to that. And, I'm looking forward to seeing guest starring again. I mean, I don't see any reason why they can't have him guest star, you know, every couple episodes or something like that.
You know what? Green Arrow was known for teaming up a lot in the comics, mostly with Green Lantern, but
I
would love to see that.
Well, it's because, you know, it's like he's fighting superpowered villains and he has no superpowers of his own, so he's like, hey, a little help here. So, I did want to take a few minutes here at the end of our show just to go over an email that we got that I thought was really cool. I always appreciate it when fans of the TV show and fans of our podcast take the time to sit down and write a little letter to us. This comes from David, who has been listening to the show here for a while. And he's got some questions for us that he'd like us to kind of look at here. First off, he didn't know at first. He was saying that Brother Cyrus and Cyrus Gold was a reference to Solomon Grundy. He listens to another Arrow-based podcast, and he says that show didn't pick it up either. They thought he was going to be Bane. And so he was really glad that, we have this other research and stuff, and, you know, we're presenting these other ideas and things like that. So he really enjoys that about the show. But he had a couple thoughts and questions here, and I just wanted to kind of run down these here in the last couple of minutes. So let me, I'm going to ask you a few questions here. But he says, I like Slade being in charge of the whole blood operation, and that's much better than Ra's al Ghul or Malcolm, as others, including myself, have speculated, which I think we were speculating as well. After Slade's little monologue at the end, I have a feeling things are going to start to get real dark for Oliver for the rest of the season. If Slade is able to follow through on his plan, I perhaps see that as a way for Oliver to lose everything that he has, money and people, and end up in a really low place at season's end, leaving season 3 to start off with Oliver having nothing, similar to the comics when he gives up, when he gives everything up. I love Tommy's appearance I love the appearance of Tommy's ghost giving Oliver the motivation for fight and to be the hero. I think it'll be a major turning point for our hero, and I also think it was a slight nod to the scene in Dark Knight Rises when Ra's visits Bruce in Bane's prison and gives him the motivation he needs to rebuild himself. With Roy being injected, do you think we'll ever get the full Green/Red Arrow team-up we thought we might be getting, or is this going to be causing a rift between Roy and Arrow that will make Roy think he can do things on his own with these new powers? So we were kind of talking about that a little bit earlier. What do you think? Do you think there will be a little bit of that,
you know,
rift?
I think there will always be a rift between them. And I think it's been like that so long in the comic that that's almost a natural thing to happen in the TV show too. You know, except for the old Golden Age Green Arrow, they've always had a rift. I mean, as soon as he found out he was a heroin addict, you know, it was never really a real close relationship again with him and Speedy. So I think I'm okay if they have that rift.
I'm now thinking about it just from a number of the other things they've set up on the show with these characters. So you've got Oliver, who is a one percenter. He may even be the 1% of the 1%. And he's got all of the, you know, so he's pretty much had everything handed to him. He's got all these skills in archery and, you know, has training and, you know, is all muscular and stuff now. And you've got Roy, who is a have-not, but has now been given this this superpower, basically, to have, you know, this healing factor and potentially super strength and everything like that. Very interesting dichotomy between the two characters that, you know, they might be working together, but they are basically the yin and the yang for each other in many different ways. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
David goes on to say, did they just decide to drop the whole, quote, Laurel is a drunk slash addict storyline because it wasn't working? Speaking of Laurel, considering her relationship developing with Sebastian Blood, do you think the Mirakuru will play a role with her transformation in Black Canary? Which is very interesting. I never even considered that she might get, and of course now we can see if there's this miracle drug, right? We can see this popping up all over the place, and I really would hate for them to overuse it and basically inject everybody on the show at some point. So, you know, Officer Lance, he got injected with it, and Thea, she got injected with it, you know. I don't think that it'll play a role with Black Canary. And I'm not sure what they were doing with the whole drunk slash addict storyline. That just seemed to be like a little thing for her to do to have her grieving for Tommy's loss for so long. And now that it's like halfway through the season, it's like, okay, she can kind of stop. She stopped grieving and got on with her life, I guess. Yeah, and I don't know that they dropped it, I guess. But
it's a little unrealistic to think that she would just stop. But I agree with you. I think it was probably more for the Tommy grieving part of it, and it just kind of a convenient way to do it.
And then finally he says, I'm completely won over by Grant Gustin as Barry Allen, as I think we all are here. I love how he just perfectly fits in with Team Arrow, and I'm sorry to see him go. By the way, any idea what was going on with those floating chemicals at the end? Cannot wait for the new Flash series. Any plans to do a Flash podcast when that comes out? So what do you think about the floating chemicals? What was your take on that?
I thought it had something to do with the particle accelerator and the accident. And I mean, I don't know exactly what was going on, but I just assumed that the combination of that and then the lightning and then whatever chemicals he landed on, all of those things together kind of contributed to him becoming the Flash. But, I mean, now, and this isn't a very romantic way to look at it, but from a writing standpoint, I think they had those chemicals floating just to show you that there were chemicals in there as well. But that the particle accelerator was somehow affecting that area.
I agree. I think it was the particle accelerator, you know, did something. It put out whatever that pulse was, and that affected the chemicals. And then, like you said, with the lightning and everything like that, it all combined into that perfect storm that, you know, will transform Barry Allen into the Flash.
Uh-huh.
As far as doing a Flash podcast, if the show gets made, it's something that we might consider. It would appeal to both of us, though I know that we both, Josh and I, have other shows that we work on as well as lives. And, you know, if I could, there'd be tons of things I'd love to be doing podcasts for. But I guess if there is interest out there, I'd love to hear from people if they'd love to hear us do something with that. And I'm sure we'd love to do one. So I guess you just have to stay tuned for that, and we'll see what happens next season.
Yeah, and I'd just like to just real briefly mention a couple posts on Facebook. Dan posted that, you know, he found our podcast and he's making his way through the first episode, so thank you very much. And then Tim, who had heard about Green Justice from a different podcast, and so he looked up Arrow on Netflix for the first season and caught up on it. So, you know, I encourage people that have not seen Arrow yet to really go back and somehow check it out, because this show is just amazing. I love it, and I love talking about it, and I love sharing it with people, and I love that people continue to get into it. So just encourage people that you can, anywhere you can, Facebook, Twitter, just friends to watch it. So thanks to both of those guys for posting.
Yeah, absolutely. And make sure you get on Twitter and let some of the people that are working on the show know about us, that you're enjoying our show and you'd love to hear them come on and talk about a little bit about what they do as well, because I think that would be a great value add. And it would, I'm sure it would bring more people into the show here and get everybody excited about the second half of season two. So I think we've probably gone on long enough here. We've talked about a ton of things. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about for the Three Ghosts episode that we may have missed?
Well, you know what? Oh, my gosh. There was so much to talk about, and there were so many references in this episode that, I mean, it mm-hmm. would just take us forever to get through them all. But, again, I love that they continue to just pull in things from the comics and from people that write about it. That you could almost do a whole episode just on that.
Yeah. The only thing that I'll add is I really, really enjoyed the scene with Oliver in Thea's room when he pulls the arrow out of Roy's leg and then has to call Diggle on the phone and explain to him that, yes, Roy has been shot with an arrow. Oh, yeah, sorry, it's a long story. Just, okay, I'll tell you later. You know, it's... You didn't even have to hear Diggle's side of the conversation. You know exactly what he's saying, and yeah. I'm sure he's cursing him out. And I just thought that was hilarious because Oliver was very uncomfortable. My kids don't understand why like Thea and Roy don't realize that he's the arrow, because it seems so obvious. And I said, well, I think it's only obvious because you know, otherwise he's just kind of acting weird, and you know, he's a dumb, goofy older brother or whatever. So.
Yeah, you don't think about people you know doing stuff like that, and so it doesn't occur to you. At least that's always my excuse when I forget something important that my wife wanted me to do. So,
all right, well, I guess that's all that we have for this week's episode of Green Justice.
And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us that feedback on iTunes. We love seeing those, and you can contact us by email at greenjustice@randomchatter.com. Or get on Twitter at Green Justice Pod, and also get on our Facebook page and share all those great thoughts with the people that are on there. Facebook.com/Green Justice Podcast.
And you can also check out the other podcast that Josh and I do called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which is also available via randomchatter.com. And of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell all your friends about us. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.